There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the atoning, imputing blood of Jesus Christ. And yet that doesn't bode well for our comfort culture, because we want a life of ease, not a life of obedience. See, you're a prison of pain, not according to what I think, but according to God's word, has purpose. See, it's our perspective. When we look through a human lens to try to see God, we miss God.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hi, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Let's take our Bibles together right now. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16, looking at verses 16 through 34, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, Your Pain Has Purpose.
Father, we come before you today and our hearts are heavy, I'm sure, in many extremes. We bring burdens into this room today, the trials of this life, the seeming uncertainties. Nothing's uncertain with you, but the struggles, the disappointments, the heartache, the pain. And yet, Father, we also know that the evil one, Satan himself, is doing everything he can to beat us into submission, to deeper despair, deeper darkness, deeper discouragement. Yet, Lord, we know this, that the gospel, your word, did not come just in word only, but in power and with much assurance and deep conviction. Therefore, we know that no matter what we deal with in this life, that we have true life in you. That no matter what comes our way, that we can just not quote, but we can live. That since you're for us, who can be against us? And so, Father, we ask today that you would speak into our lives through your word. We're not here to hear what I have to say. We're here to hear what you have to say. And so, Father, we pray that would happen. Just move me out of the way right now. Hide me behind the shadows of the cross so that we would just hear you clearly. That the Holy Spirit right now, we pray, would prepare our hearts, that he would cultivate our hearts to receive this implanted word joyfully and gladly, and that we would just not keep it hidden within our heart, but that we would go out and we would be that vessel, that pitcher, if you will, that would pour you out onto a lost and dying world. And so, Father, we just ask right now that you would strengthen us, give us courage to hear you, give us ears to hear, give us a desire to obey. Father, we pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Here in this great text in Acts chapter 16, we'll be looking at verses 16 through 34 today. And as I was thinking through this and just processing this text, the thought came to my mind that as we are on mission to be God's people, for God's glory, for God's praise, in a culture that is not running hard after God, we have to remember that the host of darkness is just not sitting back right now, allowing us and wanting us to just go on with his mission. The host of darkness, Satan himself with all his minions and all the deceit and the lies and all that he does, is on a mission to discourage us from the mission. If he can just get us slightly off course, then therefore we're no longer on course. And so I pray today through this word that we will see from God's word what it means to encounter trials, to go through discouragement, but yet to stay the course, to stay the mission. The title of this message today is simply this: Your Prison of Pain Has Purpose. Your prison of pain has purpose. Do you believe that today, that your prison of pain has purpose? Do you believe that? I believe it wholeheartedly. As you encounter Scripture and scour it and go through it from all the way from Genesis, even table of contents to maps, so to speak, as you go through every word of God, we see this, that the people that God used in a mighty way for His praise and His glory, at some point in their journey, encountered great pain. We're not immune from pain just because we sign up for this thing called Christianity. Matter of fact, many times the pain gets worse. The persecution, the heartache, the challenges, that all that we go through, that in the American church today says, look, you know, you just sign up, you do cartwheels down the aisle, you know, you get wet, whatever the bar is, which by the way is really low. The bar is really low anymore that, hey, everyone's a Christian, everyone ends up in the same place. That's heresy. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the atoning, imputing blood of Jesus Christ. And yet that doesn't bode well for our comfort culture, because we want a life of ease, not a life of obedience. See, you're a prison of pain, not according to what I think, but according to God's Word, has purpose. Listen to what the Word of God says here in this great text. Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 16 as well. Here it is. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us. Very, very key what was just read there. We're going to dissect that here in a moment. Who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Verse 17, the girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. I love this part. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Verse 19, but when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, make a note of that, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. Make a note of that as well. Very key. Now 21. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. 23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Very, very important, that last phrase there. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now here we go, 25 through 34. Here's the response. 25 is our key verse, which we're going to camp out on this morning. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Lastly, 34. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Wow, that is awesome text, isn't it? Is that not incredible? That's incredible text from the Word of God that you see here. When you back all the way up and you go back to chapter 15, you see there's this contention between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark. That John Mark had a little struggle, wasn't really in at one point, and so Barnabas, the encourager, said, hey, I want to bring him along. Paul's going, no, we're not going to do this. He abandoned us once. This isn't going to be good. And so there became such a sharp contention that Paul and Barnabas had to go different ways. So Paul takes Silas. And so you follow your text there, and you see that Timothy comes on the scene, and what a glorious man Timothy was, amen? And he comes on the scene there thereafter, and then you see the Macedonian call. Then you see Lydia, who's down by the river, and you see here come to know the Lord, and you see God doing great things here, that God's moving, that foundations are being stirred, and foundations are being shaken, and the Word of God is going forth, and when the Word of God goes forth, people get saved. And then all of a sudden, here we are in verse 16. And did you notice the words? After we had done what? Prayed. A certain slave girl who was possessed came on the scene. Are you following the order of how this works? After they had communed with the Most High God, Satan and his minions start slinging fiery darts through a slave girl. People, if they have this warped sense of Christianity that, man, I just press into Jesus and somehow, man, this thing's going to be just it. Man, we're just going to be floating around on clouds. No issues, no troubles. No heartache, no pain, no prisons. By the way, our context this morning for the word prison is this. Our context, be clear on this. Our prison today is referring to where you are because of where you are in Christ. Let me be clear on this. I mean, here's the deal. I've been there. You've probably been there. We've all been at some point in a self-imposed prison because we have not been walking with Christ. No, we're referring to a prison where we are because of where we are in Christ as we're running hard after Him and following Him, because that is the key of what we're talking about this morning. That you see Paul and Silas, and they are actually in the center of God's will, doing God's work, and they end up in a prison. And again, that doesn't preach well to the American church, because we want to hear about what's about us and our comfort. We want to hear how our life's going to be splendid and glorious. And God's like, this life is not about you. Amen. This life is about me and my glory, is what God says. Amen. See, don't miss verse 16 as you're taking your notes. They prayed first, and then they endured the persecution. Now, when you press into God, Satan is there, and he's waiting missile lock on you. Going to try to do everything he can to get you off the mission.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
I made a note here, verse 16. As we desire to seek the face of God, Satan will put every roadblock in your path. You ever noticed that? Have you ever said, you know what, God, I am all in. I'm surrendering. All my Isaacs are on the altar. I'm holding nothing back, palms up, not clenching anything. Have you ever noticed how he will put every roadblock in your path, Satan will? He knows the return on his investment is going to be great if he can get you to apostate from the mission. Therefore, he's going to do everything he can to encourage you and dissuade you so that you will apostate from the mission. He'll put every roadblock in your path. But look also at verse 18. Paul is annoyed and distressed. That's what that Greek word means there. My translation said annoyed. It means distressed. I mean, just kind of think through this. And we've seen some great things happen here. Verse 16 comes on the scene. A certain slave girl's like, okay, here we go. Possessed, divination, fortune telling. Of course, that's unbiblical. God does not bless that act. It's demonic is what it is. And so here's what's going on. Paul and his spirit, because he has the spirit walking within him. So his spirit, little s, with a big spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is working within him. And there's an uncomfort. Have you ever been around someone and kind of your radar goes off and you're like, something's not right here. Something's not right. It may give the impression it's okay. In this instance, there's no impression this is okay. There's a possessed slave girl that's being used by her masters for great profit. And here she is after they have prayed. A roadblock by Satan is being thrown in their path. Here's the great news. That if Satan is putting roadblocks in your path today as you're running hard after God, not only is there great purpose in your prison and in your pain, but it should be validation to you that you're actually on the right track. Man, it can be really easy. Man, I've said this before, and I say it actually a lot, but how many times when things are going well do we go, am I in God's will? Man, when the bottom fell out and is falling out, what do we all do? Man, where do we miss God? Good question to ask, but it doesn't necessarily mean you've missed God. I mean, when these guys over in foreign countries are literally losing their heads because they will not deny the name of Jesus, are they out of the center of God's will because they're running hard after him and dying for him? See, it's our perspective. When we look through a human lens to try to see God, we miss God. When we look through the lens of Scripture, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to see with unveiled eyes, as the scales are removed, how great and glorious and wonderful our God is, especially in the midst of your prison. Amen. So critical here, because it's verse 18, he's annoyed. He's so annoyed. He's distressed. This girl's following them around. I mean, that would get a little annoying, wouldn't it? She's falling around, spouting off this stuff going on here. Roadblock, roadblock, roadblock. And there in verse 18, he cast out the demon. I made this note here. When we encounter sin around us, especially here in this instance, our spirit within us should be annoyed and distressed. Paul did something. Do you notice this? He actually took action. He did something. Standing by and shrugging our shoulders and apathy and indifference is not the answer. You see something going on in your home or your church or your business or your team, and you know it's not of God. You're just sitting back and kind of shrugging the shoulders going, well, this is the way it is, you know, around here anymore. That's not the answer. The answer is to be bold for God and to stand for God. Because that approach right there, you just ask our country how that's working out for us today. And we're in a country today that just sits back and shrugs its shoulders with apathy and indifference, and, well, this is the way we are. No, I believe we need some bold men and women and students of the cross of Jesus Christ to rise up, that they're willing to take a stand, they're willing to do the hard things. I mean, it's hard. Following Christ, living for Christ in the United States of America, I believe is the most difficult country to live in to follow Christ today. We have so many distractions, we have so many challenges, we have so much wealth, so much comfort, that it's so easy to somehow, even just subliminally and unwittingly, think that God's in this with like a co-kingship. That we somehow share the throne with him. I mean, there really is a throne war going on. At some point, every person's life, at some point in every person's life, we will have to get to the crux of the matter, who's really going to be on the throne of our life. Until you get to that point where Jesus truly is on the throne, and I mean 100% completely, that everything's pushed into the middle of the table, we're not holding on to anything, but until we get to that point where He matters more than everything, that everything that we have is just so loosely held that it's just Him, that we want to see His glory go forth, and if that means that we suffer in a prison physically and or metaphorically for His glory, for His praise, man, we should be a people that says, oh God, You bring it on. Amen. Man, whatever's going to bring You the most glory. Amen. That's a tough place to get to, isn't it? And yet here's Paul. He's annoyed. I made a note here. When we encounter sin around us, do something. When we encounter sin in us, do something about it. Amen. Don't allow it to fester. Don't allow it to build up within us. Run to the cross of Jesus. Look at verse 19. But when her master saw that their hope, there it is, their hope of profit was gone, they dragged Paul and Silas to the authorities. I'll tell you what, when we begin to lose what we desperately crave, the claws come out, don't they? Man, these guys, they're going, okay, we're using this girl. She's our slave. We're going to use her for a profit, for gain. This is not of God, obviously. Profit's not bad, but when it's not of God, it's horrible. It's horrendous. It's wicked. And here they are, and they're using her for their own gain. And now this is being lost. The dollar's being lost. And they're thinking in their mind, what are we going to do? We need to take action. And so what do they do? Well, look at verse 20. Paul and Silas are falsely accused of troubling the city. Here's what it says. Verse 20. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. They're not troubling the city. What's happening is their wickedness is being troubled because it's not of God. And Paul's standing for it. Silas is standing for it. And so here's what happens. Watch how this process works. After they had prayed, here comes Satan, and he brings in the roadblock through the slave girl who's demon-possessed. Now what happens is the owners of the girl say, wait a minute, we're losing out on our financial gain. We can't allow this to go on. So now we have to do what our master Satan does, and we have to create a lie and slander who's actually promoting the gospel. Satan's card is always the lie. That's what he does. He's all about the lie and the deception. And so he comes on the scene, and here's Paul and Silas in the center of God's will. And he begins to distort through these masters and create lies and deception about what they're doing, which they're really not doing. I made this note as well here. When we begin to lose what we crave, we will go to great lengths to keep what we crave, but also this, when people are at risk for being exposed and losing what they crave, the next step is always the lie. I mean, you look at John 3:16, and we all love that verse, don't we? I mean, you see the ball games, and it's like everyone, even like non-believers, know John 3:16, a bunch of them. But so many people don't understand what's beyond John 3:16 in that chapter 3. And it talks about this, that the light, that the gospel is light. And men fear the light because why? Their deeds will be exposed by the light. That's what these masters are doing. They know what's going to happen. They know, man, this whole top is going to get blown off this thing if we allow this to carry on. Therefore, we got to put a lie in there to create the discord and the dissension and put these guys away into some sort of a prison so that they will be stopped. But here's the deal. The gospel cannot be stopped. No matter what Satan tries to do in your life today as you're living for Christ, the gospel cannot be stopped. You may lose your life today for the cause of the gospel. Here's the deal. The gospel cannot be stopped. And so we're working through this text here, going to 25. Paul and Silas, 22, the magistrates and the judges and the people, they tore off Paul and Silas' clothes and they beat them. Now, they're Roman citizens, they deserve a trial. I don't read about any trial going on here, did you? It's kind of like we're judge, jury, and executioner. Here's a lie. We don't know if it's true or not, but we believe it. Here, let's beat you. They rip their clothes off and they're just demeaning them and embarrassing them. And then here it is, 23 and 24. Listen closely. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Very key. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stock. Now, this is very pivotal as we're thinking through this because we're setting up 25. We're building a case this morning for verse 25. That's where we're going through all of this context to make sure we clearly understand what 25 really means. Here's the deal. They put them in prison. And as we already know from reading, that when the prisoner escaped, what did the jailer typically do? Man, that was death for him, wasn't it? He wasn't going to be able to go on. So he puts them just not in a prison or a part of the prison, but he puts them in the inner part of the prison. It's the most secure part of the prison. But not only that, he puts their feet in stocks. Now, if you know this, stocks aren't those things you invest in. Stocks are the things here in this context where literally as your feet are fastened, they're spread typically at an angle that creates immense pain. Now, let's get this straight because we're going to 25. We've got to make sure we know we're tracking together. Paul and Silas are in the middle of God's will. They've just prayed. And now they've been falsely accused, beaten, had their clothes torn off. They're now in a prison, just not, and by the way, this isn't the prison that we have in our culture today. There's no AC, there's no, you know, flat screen TV. No, this is a dark, dank prison. And they are not only in a prison, but in the inner part of the prison that's most secure, and their feet are in stocks, and typically when you learn about that and study that, they're at an angle where there's great pain, and by the way, they don't like take them out for a while and give you a break. And they're doing all of this as they're in the center of God's will.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.